It's a pleasure to be in your midst. This is Manitoba, isn't it?
Yes.
So you are called Manitobans.
Yes.
It's a great pleasure to be in your midst. I thank God for the privilege of COVID to meet you and the minister to you. Thank God that you are children of God. That is the greatest thing that can happen to a human being, to be called of God into life, to be made alive in Christ Jesus. Because when we actually got born again, what happened to us is that we were quickened, we were made alive from the dead, we were raised from the dead, we were not just brought into a religious thing, but it's a matter of life. The Bible says that we were dead in sins and trespasses. We were dead. We were dead people when we were not born again. We were dead in sins and trespasses. But the Bible says that when the mercy of God, that God who is rich in mercy, decided to quicken us together, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. The moment we got born again, we received Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. The Bible says we were made alive. So the new birth is actually a matter of life. We began to live when we met Jesus, because Jesus Christ is life, and what he gives is life. He impacted life into us when we met him. And because we became alive in him, we have a hope that the living has. Hallelujah. We have the hope of the living. I think the theme of this meeting also is the appearance of the great hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have the hope of the living. There is a hope that dead people have because they cannot see beyond the grave. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Dead people. Now, there are two species of human beings living on earth now. Two species. Clear two species. One is a species of those who are dead. You might not know them on the streets. They might be finely dressed, you know, wealthy and everything, but the fact is that they are dead. In their spirit, anybody who is not born again is dead in his spirit. And anybody who is born again is alive in the spirit. And there's no way you can know them on the face. Most of the time, you don't know them on the face. They might be, you know, well made up, well dressed, touche, they smell nice, drive nice cars. But the fact is that in their spirits, they are dead men, just walking. They are dead because they are separated from the life of God. They have not been quickened. They were dead in trespasses and in sins, which all the Bible says by one man, sin came into the world. And what came by sin? Death entered because of sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. But by one man, Jesus Christ, he obeyed God, he brought life back to the world. And so as many as come to him and receive him as their Lord and their Savior, what he does, what he gives to them is life. He quickens them. He makes them alive. So when you see, if you put human beings together, there are two races now. Forget the black color, the green color, the yellow color. That is not how you know man. Say, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man. After what?
The flesh.
We don't know men after the flesh. I don't know you by your color. I don't know you by your race. I know you by one thing. Are you dead or you are alive? So if the white man is alive in Christ Jesus, we belong to the same company. I am alive. God sees us as a company of people who are living, who are alive, who have been raised from the dead by the new birth. Praise the Lord. Now, these two companies, the company of the dead and the living, that is how God has classified man. The dead man, the living man, the man who is alive in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, Those who are alive in Christ Jesus, they have a reason why God made them alive. They were quickened from the dead. Maybe we should just look at Ephesians chapter 2, so that I will not be talking from my head. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah, are we there?
Yes.
And you had he quickened. Quickened there means made alive. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you had he quickened. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Those who were, everybody was in this state before, dead in trespasses and sins, and they were walking according to a prince. There is somebody responsible for their walk, the way they walk. The Bible calls that person responsible. When you see people walking disobedience, they are not just doing it because they wish to. They are doing it because there is somebody responsible for that disobedience. There is someone orchestrating disobedience. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He's a spirit. The spirit that walks in the children of disobedience. His work is to walk disobedience in people and make them children of wrath. So the only thing they can attract from God is wrath, anger. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is the state of the dead man. He's not just dead, he's also being controlled by a puppet master. He might think that he's the one just thinking the way he's thinking. No, somebody is responsible for that. He's a puppet master. Bible says it clearly. We're under that control of the prince of the power of the air because we're dead in our spirits. So he could have access. He had a claim over us. Anybody who is dead in the spirit is a citizen of his kingdom. So he can control them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let us go further. But God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God who is rich in mercy. Mercy. God who is rich in mercy. We were dead. We had no help. We couldn't help ourselves. God decided to have mercy on us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. At times I look at myself and I wonder, what did God see in me? Why did he call me? Because you look at yourself, how did I get born again? Not that I was looking for God, not that I wanted to get born again, but God just cornered me somewhere, made me to hear the gospel, and I got convicted, and I got born again. You see that it was an orchestration of somebody. And the reason for that is because of mercy. Say, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, we were dead in sins. Had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He had quickened. When we were dead, because of mercy, he made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. Christ is his son. He raised his son from the dead on the third day. And the Bible says, as he was raising the Son from the dead, he also raised us up together with the Son. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Made us alive, quickened us, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, what am I saying? We were dead, and we were just walking as every other dead person. But the mercy of God appeared to us. He quickened us together with Christ Jesus. He raised us up together. Now, the quickening, the aspect of you that was quickened, is your spirit, the real you. Man is a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. He's a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. So this body, this one that I'm seeing, this is a house where the real you lives. The real you is a spirit. The one who died in Eden because of sin is a spirit. Because of the death in the spirit, the body began to die. Praise the Lord. You know, man was not meant to die. But because the life that was in the spirit departed, and that life is what sustains the body, that body began to die. Now, when God, Jesus Christ, came back, what did he do? He quickened that spirit that died. He gave life to the real man, the real you. You became alive from the dead. So when you see yourself walking, you know that I am alive. I am not dead. I am alive. I'm a man who has been raised from the dead. We were raised together with Christ. We were quickened together with Christ, raised up together with him, made to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing a wonderful thing that happened to us when we got born again? That is the meaning of being born again. When we got born again, that was what happened to us. We became living men, alive from the dead. Now, the funny thing is that these people who were not, let's go further down, that same chapter 2, let's read further. Let me read from verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. You know, they were before Christ came, there were two races of men on the earth. You know, I said we have two races now, the race of the dead and the race of the living. Those are the two major races now. The only two races, the living and the dead. The Bible says Jesus Christ is coming to judge the quick, that is the living, and the dead. So that is how God classifies man. When angels look down on the earth, that is the classes of men that they see, the quick and the dead. But before Jesus Christ came, the whole earth were classified into two races. What were those races? The Jews and the Gentiles. You understand? Those were the two races, the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are called circumcision. Then the Gentiles are called uncircumcision. That is how God classified men, the Jews and the Gentiles. Circumcision and uncircumcision. And how did they come about it? God called that a people. God has always been looking for a people that he can be called their God. A people he can relate with and say, these are mine and I am theirs. He has always been looking for that set of people. He will say, these people are my people and I am their God. You remember when he introduced him, anywhere he wants to introduce himself, Moses asked him, who are you? Who are you? He said, tell them that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He has always been looking for people he can identify with and give everything that he has to them. So the whole world was under idolatry. Then he called out Abraham and began to establish a covenant with him and began to teach him, you know, began to lead him so that he can make a people out of him. And he, after many years, he was able to get a nation called Israel and gave them the law of circumcision and later gave them laws. You understand? And said, these are my people. You are Jews, my people. The remaining, the rest of the world are Gentiles. You are special unto me because you are my people. I am your God. You are my people, I'm your God. The rest of the world, they are not, I'm not their God. You understand? Because they serve idols. Are you following me? So now, but when Jesus Christ came, the whole thing changed. Now, Paul is now referring to in time past. Remember, let's look at it again. So wherefore, remember that ye being in time past before, he's writing to Ephesian Christians, now people who are now born again. So before you got born again, you were what? Referred to as what? Uncircumcision by those who are called circumcision in the flesh. Their circumcision was in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. He said that at that time, ye were without Christ. Eh? Ye were without Christ at that time. Without Christ. So you are called uncircumcision. You are called Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens. What is the commonwealth of Israel? That is that which belongs to Israel. You remember Jesus Christ, when that Syrophoenician woman came to him and said, Master, heal my son. Eh? The son was taken up with a palsy. Jesus Christ said, what are you saying? How can I give the children's bread to dogs? There are things that pertain to the children, to the nation of Israel. Praise the Lord. There are privileges they enjoyed because of who God is. I mean, because of who God is to them and who they are to God. So he said, this one is for the children, it's not for dogs. Gentiles are called dogs. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Very terrible demarcation. Gentiles is a bad state. They are called dogs. And then the people of Israel, the Jews, are called the people. They are the only people on earth. The rest are dogs. You understand what I'm saying? By virtue of the covenant that God struck with their fathers, he demarcated them from the rest of the world. But now when Christ came, the story changed. He said, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Are you seeing that? Having no what? No hope. And what? Without God in the world. Having no what? Hope. And without God in the world. That was our state when we were dead. A dead man has no hope. You understand? But we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Eh? And when they made us alive, one thing, reason for making us alive is that they brought us into hope. We now became a people of hope. Let us look at Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is Peter writing to strangers scattered, so believers. That persecution scattered them from Jerusalem. When persecution broke out, he now scattered them. So Peter now wrote a letter to them. He now said, elect. They are believers. So. He said, they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace by be multiplied. Now let me pause there and explain something. He called them elect. How did they elect them? How were they elected? How? From what we just read, how were they elected? Are you following me?
Yeah.
How were they elected? Eh? From what we just read, just read it again. Elect.
According to the foreknowledge of God.
So God knew them before, mm-hmm. before he elected them. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Okay, now how did he elect them? Through sanctification of what?
The Spirit.
Through how? What is the meaning of sanctification of the Spirit? That is the new birth. The new birth. When you say I'm born again, that is your election. That is how they elected you. Sanctification of the Spirit. There is the setting apart of the Spirit, the making holy of your spirit. How did they make your spirit holy? Your sins were not just washed away. You were made a new man. You were raised from the dead. You know what I've been discussing before?
Yeah.
You were raised from the dead. You were quickened from the dead. You were made alive from the dead. That is how you sanctified your spirit. The new birth, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, do we know that scripture?
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. A new creation. He's a brand new man. How? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you, how did I come into Christ? When I came into Christ by the new birth. When I got born again, that was how I came into Christ. And then a new man emerged. That new man is an elected man by God. He's God's elect. The reason they gave birth to that new man is they elected him for something. Are you following me? So sanctification of the Spirit there is a new birth. So how was I elected? The new birth. It is also called calling. The new birth is a calling. God called you by the new birth. When I got born again, I became the called of God. I became the elect of God. Now let us see why they elected us. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again. That's another word for the new birth. Eh? Had begotten, he gave birth to us again, begotten. He quickened us. He had begotten us again. Mm-hmm. Unto a lively, what?
Hope.
He had begotten us again unto a lively hope. By what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Is everybody following me?
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what?
According
to what?
Abundant mercy.
Are you seeing mercy again? You remember in Ephesians 2 that we read, he said, God who is rich in mercy, eh? When we're dead in trespasses and sins, had quickened us.
Mm.
Hmm? Together with Christ Jesus. Now he says, God who according to his abundant mercy had begotten. So the whole essence of the new creation man is a product of mercy of God. We are products of mercy. Do you understand that? You are a product of mercy. It was the mercy of God that brought you forth. Our new birth is the idea of God's mercy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, his mercy was not just to quicken us from the dead, but he raised us from the dead so that we can inherit a hope. You know, you remember before, when we're dead, we were without hope. We had no what?
Hope.
No hope. We had no what? No hope, because we were dead. But mercy, God chose to have mercy on us and say, these people, they are going nowhere. They don't have any hope. They are dead. So he had mercy on us. And how did he show his mercy? He came and raised us up from the dead. That was a show of mercy. The Bible calls us vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. He raised us from the dead because of mercy. And then raised us from the dead unto a lively hope. A hope that is alive. Note there are different kinds of hope on earth. But when the Bible says we're without hope, it's a different kind of hope. Different kinds of hope on earth that human beings have. When they come, you know, into the world, they begin to hope, okay, one day I'll become the richest man on earth. One day I'll become the president of a nation. One day I'll become the CEO of a multinational. One day I'll become so many things that people hope for. But those are not hopes. That is, anybody can hope for such things. But there is a hope that is meant for those who have been raised from the dead. Their hope goes beyond this world. The Bible says, if in this world alone we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are all men most miserable. Don't forget, I said, there are two races on earth. The race of the dead and then the race of the living. Now we have been quickened from the dead so that we can have hope that the living alone can have. Only the living that can have that kind of hope. He said he has begotten us again. He gave back to us. He raised us from the dead. We got born again unto something. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you have a hope. You have a hope. Because you are born again, there is a hope for you. And the Bible qualifies that hope as a lively one. A hope that is alive. A life-giving hope. Praise the Lord. By reason of the new one. So you are not just born again to play religion. You are not just born, God, you didn't just get born again so that you can go to church and clap hands and sing songs. No. You were raised unto something. You were born again for something. To inherit something. Remember, he said, when we were in time past, we were Gentiles in our flesh and called uncircumcision by those who are called circumcision. He said, we were without God, without hope, and we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens. We couldn't inherit anything. Praise the Lord, that is meant for the people of God. But now that we have been raised together with Christ Jesus, we were raised unto a lively hope. It's a lively hope. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let us look at something. What is the nature of that hope? It's a lively hope. What is the nature of that hope? You know, Paul said, if in this world only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we have all men most miserable. A living man, somebody who is made alive in Christ Jesus, is not meant to end in this world. He's an everlasting man. He's an eternal man. After this body falls off, you know, I said, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Now, this body, when this body falls off, at death, the man, the real man, continues to live. Is an eternal man. He's an eternal man. So his hope must be an eternal hope. Because if all the hope an eternal man could get, as it means somebody who is eternal, and all he could get is what ends here on earth. So when his body falls off and the hope ends, then he faces eternity without anything. Isn't it? So, Bible says all flesh is as grass. The glory of grass is as a flower. The glory of the flesh is as a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower will fall off. You understand? The flower will fall off, but they that do the will of God, they will abide forever. So because the new creation man who has been made alive from in Christ Jesus is not meant to be like flesh. He's a supernatural man. He's an eternal man who is meant to endure forever. So his hope must be what? Eternal. His hope must be what?
Eternal.
He must not be something that ends here on earth, because he does not end here on earth. is actually a man meant for another world. They call it the world to come. That is actually his own world, where he will fully express and manifest himself. But if you see that place that we read in Ephesians chapter 7, so that in ages to come, in the ages to come, there is this age that we are in now, but there are still ages to come. That man is a man of ages to come. In ages to come, he's still existing. He was quickened from the dead for manifestation in ages to come. His beauty, the praise of God, will still be seen in him in ages to come. So he must come into something that is eternal. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. He's meant for something that is eternal, that endures forevermore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let us see. Titus. Let us look at Titus chapter 3. Let me read from, are we there? Titus chapter 3, are we there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let me read from verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no broiler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was our state. It was a normal, natural thing for you to live in malice and envy when you are dead. Praise the Lord. These are the manifestations of those who are dead. Foolishness, living in malice, hateful and hating one another. Those are the things that come out of a dead man. Praise the Lord. But you notice that the moment you got born again, you no longer feel comfortable with this. When you are finding it difficult to forgive somebody who has offended you, you can't sleep. When you are praying, you can't pray well. Abi? You can't pray, say, oh God, I'm sorry for not quickly forgiving. Help me, God, help me to forgive my sister from my heart. Lord, I really want to forgive. The pain, what she did to me is very painful, but Lord, I want to forgive. Help me to forgive. Those are the signs of life. You understand? Those are the signs of life. That's how living people react. They are not comfortable with evil. When life comes into you, you discover that your manifestation is different. You react like somebody is alive in the spirit. You're no longer comfortable. Before you can lie easily. But when you come into Christ, you become alive. When you mistakenly tell a lie, say, oh my God, that's a lie. You can't pray. You can't read Bible. You are discouraged. Say, oh my God, that is a sign that you are alive. That is a sign that you are alive. You know what I'm saying? Now, it says, that was our state. He said, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Are you seeing the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
God, because of mercy, because of his rich in mercy, this one, he says, the kindness and love of God, kindness and love of God towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to what? His mercy. Are you seeing mercy again? Let's even pause to thank God for this mercy. I think we should thank God. Let's, in few words, thank him for the mercy that came to us, that brought salvation to us. We didn't need to thank him. He didn't just forget God, forgive our sins. He made us alive because of mercy. Let's exalt him for mercy. Mercy. Mercy that appeared to us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. Thank him for mercy. Thank him for mercy that appeared to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration. Are you seeing something? That is how we were saved. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing of regeneration there is talking about the recreation. you are a regenerated man. They regenerated a new person. What's your name, please?
Sam.
The new Sam is a newly generated person. You know what it means to generate something? So the former Sam, when did you get born again? 2005. That's a long time. You are a bonger person now. You are a bonger person. So that almost 10 years. Ah, you should be a preacher right now. Eh? Are you preaching about? You're not. Ah, you should start preaching by now. I'm just joking. Now, prior to 2007, there was a different sound. At 2005, there was a different sound. By 2005, when you got born again, they regenerated a new sound. They regenerated a new sound. The person called Sam, the real Sam, is a newly generated person. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation, a new generation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. So God, Bible says, He regenerated us. By what? The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. That being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs. Yes, according to the hope of eternal life. When we were regenerated, we became what? Heirs. Who is an heir?
Someone is in a position to inherit something.
Someone who is in a position to inherit something. That's an heir. So he said, by the new birth, we became heirs. We came into a position to inherit the hope of eternal life. We became what? People who can inherit a hope. And what is that hope? Eternal life. That is our hope. The hope of what?
Eternal life.
We became heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, let us look at chapter 1 of that same Titus. Are you following me?
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Titus chapter 1. Are we there?
Yes.
Let me read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. You remember that elect in 1 Peter that we read? Elect according to the sanctification of the Spirit. That is according to the born again. When you got born again, you became an elect. So, according to the faith of God's elect, who are God's elect?
We.
How did you become God's elect? By sanctification, thank you. Sanctification of the Spirit, or what? The new birth. We became God's elect by the new birth. So Paul said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why did they make Paul an apostle and a servant? Because of the elect. God has raised some people from the dead. And he has something to give them. He now raised Paul. He has raised some people from the dead. He has elected some people to inherit something. Are you following me? He has elected some people to inherit something because of what? Let us look at it. He said, elect according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. Are you seeing hope? What is the hope? What is the hope there?
Hope of eternal
life. In hope of eternal life. They raised Paul because of this hope that is meant for the elect of God to come into. The elect of God has an inheritance. That inheritance is this eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world did what? Began. Are you seeing something? Before the world began, God promised that some elect, some people he is going to elect, they are going to inherit eternal life. So because of that, they cornered Paul on the way to Damascus. He was going to kill Christians. He said, you don't know anything. You, Paul, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I have chosen you. No, Paul said it. He said, but God, when it pleased God, who called me from my mother's womb? When he was busy persecuting Christ, he didn't know that, but before he was formed in his mother's womb, he had already been called. Let's look at it. This gospel is very awesome. I think Galatians. Am I boring you?
No.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
People are, you are so quiet that it's like I'm speaking above your head. Eh? I'm not, Abby. Is it sinking?
Yes. Yes.
Ha. Okay. Okay. Let's see what Paul said.
Galatians
chapter 1. Let me read Paul's account of himself. But I certify you, brethren, verse 11, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. This gospel, what I'm talking to you about now, is not after man. It's not something that man's head generated. It's not man's idea. Eh? You understand what I'm saying? For I neither received it of man. Are you saying something? I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is Paul. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That was Paul. That was his state. He wasted the church. He was killing anyhow, ruthlessly. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So that time that he was busy wasting the church, he didn't know that a calling was hanging on him from his mother's womb. That when Paul was being born, when he was being conceived, God had already known him and seen him and had already called him. That you, Paul, is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? You see, that is how a lot of human beings get born on earth and live their lives without ever locating why they came to this world. They don't ever locate the purpose for life. Paul was going another direction. Meanwhile, in his mother's womb, he had already been separated. he was known when he was in his mother's womb, and he separated him. He said, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me? He called me. And then he grew up, that same God that separated him from his mother's womb, he grew up killing and wasting his people. Doing the exact opposite of what he was separated for. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the program of God for every man's life? But unfortunately, a lot of men don't ever locate that. Even when they locate it, a lot of people don't submit to it. So they ruin the purpose for which they were born. Praise the Lord. Now the same thing with the new creation man. when God was going to get you born again, the Bible says, according to the foreknowledge of God, he had already known us before he called us. You didn't just get born again by chance. So somebody had known you a long time ago. Foreknowledge of God. He called you. And he said, I elect according to the foreknowledge. You see, when they knew Paul and separated him from his mother's womb, they also elected you. Paul's calling is because of the elect of God. People God had quickened from the dead and had given a promise to from the foundation of the world. This promise, hope of eternal life, has been from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. So you were quickened from the dead according to the hope of eternal life. Paul was called a preacher, a servant of God, according to the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. He had promised man that man will come to inherit eternal life. Hallelujah. Am I okay? Should I round up?
Yes.
Okay. That man should inherit eternal life. Now, this eternal life, praise the Lord. John chapter 1. I just want to lay that background so that we can all flow when pastor comes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is the nature of our hope. John chapter 1, verse 1. Are we there?
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 1, verse 1. Are we there?
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was
made.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was
God.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was what?
That's life.
Life. In him, in the Word, who was God, in him was life. Now, that life that is in the Word, who was God, is the life that the promised man, those who are born again, that is your inheritance. Is that not a great thing? The life that was in God, that made him to be God, is what they have promised man, that man should come and what? Be a partaker of, be an heir of. Paul said, Paul, an apostle of God, according to the promise of eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. Eternal life, which is in Christ. So God promised us the life that was in the Word. Not the life that is in animals. Not the life that is in the angels. The life that was in the Word. And the Word was God. So the life of God is our hope. The life that is in God. We being raised from the dead together with Christ Jesus, we have been called to inherit the life that is in God himself. The very essence of God is our hope. That is what God promised, eternal life. And it is only people who are made alive from the dead who can be heirs in a position. I like the way you defined heirs. It is only people who have been quickened from the dead who are in a position to inherit that which is in God, that which is in Jesus. That is our hope. That is why it is called a great hope. It is a hope that goes beyond the grave. It's a hope you come into and it remains with you forever, and it changes your status. Imagine you coming to inherit what is in Jesus. What will it make you to be? You become like God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This my young brother here wants to ask a question.
Yeah, I have a question. I don't know if Paul was he found his calling, his purpose on earth. I think he was arrested by God.
Yes, no.
So okay, yeah, you agree with me. So if you're not arrested by God, like arrested by God, how do you find your purpose on earth?
You see, it's not everybody that goes through the experience that Paul had. Paul was a terrible Pharisee. Nobody would dare preach to him. He took the intervention of Jesus because he was sold and tied by that Jewish religion. You understand what I'm saying? He took the intervention of Jesus on the way to Damascus to make him see and turn and then fulfill purpose. Now, God arrests all of us in different ways. You understand what I'm saying? Your arrest does not have to be like that of Paul. He comes to you, he convicts us. Somebody, he can send somebody to you to preach to you. That preaching will convict you. Some of us, it is living with a Christian that convicts us and we get arrested. You understand? You live with a Christian and you just see that person's life, this person is different from me. That was my own way of arrest. I had some Christians next door to me and I saw them, I didn't like this SU, call them SU back at home, this SU thing, but I saw these people, I said, these people are different from me. They have something I don't have. That is a conviction. That is an arrest. Their lives arrested me. They convicted me. I kept looking at them. There's something they have that I don't have. I don't have something that they have. There's something different about them. And one day, God sent somebody my way to preach to me. And immediately they preached to me and they asked me whether I want to give my life to God. I said yes. Because I was already convicted in my heart that there's something these people have that I don't have. I don't know it. I can't pinpoint it. But I knew they had something that were different from me. So different experiences for different people. But the moment I got born again, it took me coming into teachings like this to realize the reason why I was arrested. You understand?
Yeah.
And that was exactly what happened to Paul. After he got blinded, he got that encounter on the way to Damascus, God sent somebody to him and told him, go and tell him he's a vessel chosen for me. And gradually, if you read that Galatians chapter 1, gradually God started revealing to him his purpose, his will, different encounters, different appearances. Jesus Christ appeared to him different times apart from this first one.
Yeah.
He had different appearances where God told him, this is the reason why you were arrested. This is the reason why you were born to start with. And then he embraced it. So he does that to us. You know, revelation upon revelation, knowledge, light begins to come that begins to explain the purpose for your life to you. And then it is for you to just follow suit when that light breaks. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Am I answering your question?
Your question?
Yeah, just to follow up to that question. Do you think that Paul had a choice? You know how, like, they say, yes, God wants to use you, God ordained you for this, but do you think that Paul would have walked away, or do you think Paul would have said, you know what, God, I don't want to do this, and do you think he would have been able to go, and God would have raised someone else?
You see, it is possible, you know, he said something, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, which means he could have been disobedient. But that encounter was so great that it will, when Jesus Christ appears to you, he comes to you with a lot of grace to strengthen you. No, Paul himself confessed. He said, I am what I am by grace. That is, the grace of God was so much that he configured him to a man who could do the will of God. Without the grace of God, we cannot obey God. You understand what I'm saying? So even if he wanted to disobey, there was grace to make him to obey. Bible says God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah. So he was already a chosen vessel, and everything he needed to obey that commission was already packaged for him. So God pumped that appearance alone. He's gracious. he didn't remain that same person after he got up from that place. In the moment he fell down, he saw Jesus.
Yeah.
He called him Lord immediately. He said, who are you, Lord? Who told him that he is Lord? It was too clear.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he couldn't disobey that. It was too real to him. It was too clear. It's like you telling me to deny these my fingers that they exist. Because I can see them before me, I can touch them. If you put a pin here, I will know that something is hitting my finger, that there's a finger here. That was what Jesus Christ did to Paul. He imposted himself in Paul's heart that he couldn't, if he turns, he knows that he's lying. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So it's almost absolutely impossible for him to disobey because of grace and God's workings.
Mm-hmm.